Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, folks. It is 1904, almost 1905 UTC. I am late, but this is DJ Marcus, and it is News to Me time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sorry you had to listen to reruns for a few minutes there. I'm just SSHing over. So yesterday, I had that bad headache, so I didn't do any work, really, and so I have, 30 tickets that were assigned to me, and wouldn't you know it, if I'm not there to tell people, hey, I don't do that, they just assign all sorts of random bullshit to me. So, what a wonderful surprise. What fun to be like, hey, I don't know what server that is. Marcus can take care of it. Anyway, I'm sure that is not interesting to anybody but me, but, anyway, let's just go ahead here and SSH over to SDF, and then you type com, alrighty, then you press G for go to, and type Anon Radio, and then hit enter. Boom. You will then land in the Anon Radio room, which is where you want to be during the show, or during live shows anyway. It's a lot of fun, and comm in general can be fun. I usually am only there using an on radio, though, so that's what's going on. All right, so big shout out to those in comm. Chaz Maz, JWH, M Stoney's in the house, Ratsu, and X1 always holding it down, along with W Visser and Northern Lights. Oh man, we got a whole crew today. Tobe will be showing up soon, I'm sure, because every day at 19:30 on the dot, you got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So, you know, that's all out of the way. The ranting is done. So, you know, that means it's time to start the show the way we always do.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. And look at me, making one click, one press. No double-clicking on the sound effect today. All right, well, where are we starting? Well, of course, let's talk about unrest first before we get into the death. Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan condemned what he said was an attempted coup after the army demanded he quit on Thursday and told a rally of thousands of supporters that only the people could decide his future. The army's demand in a written statement plunged the impoverished former Soviet Republic of less than 3 million into a new political crisis just months after ethnic Armenian forces lost a war and territory to Azerbaijan. Russia, which is traditionally a close ally and has a military base in Armenia, said it was alarmed by events. Moscow called it a domestic matter that Armenia should resolve peacefully and within the constitution. Pashinyan, 45, has faced calls to quit since November over his handling of the six-week conflict between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenian forces over the Nagorno-Karabakh enclave and surrounding areas in which Azeri forces made territorial gains. But it was the first time the military had called publicly for his resignation. Hey, welcome, AGK! You're just in time. So, this will be interesting to see what happens and if it can withstand everything there. Something I'll always remember is that my mother had memorized or did a report on Armenia when she was little, and she had a little song to help remember things, and so I will tell you the lyrics to it now because it's ingrained in me too. It's Armenia, Armenia, you border on the Adriatic. Your land is mostly mountainous, and your chief export is chrome. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. So I always picture Armenia as a mountainous region full of chrome, so lots of shiny motorcycles. I'm sure that's not the case, but that's what I grew up thinking. Anyway, let's keep on rolling along. Okay, what else is... Alright, we're not talking about death yet, so let's talk about this. India and Pakistan agree to stop cross-border firing in Kashmir. Pakistan and India's militaries have agreed to strictly observe a ceasefire at the de facto border between the two countries in the disputed region of Kashmir, and other agreements according to a Pakistani military statement. A rare thaw in relations between the South Asian neighbors. the Director General of Military Operations, or DGMO, of the Indian and Pakistani militaries held discussions over a hotline between their offices on Thursday. Both sides agree for strict observance of all agreements, understandings, and ceasefiring along the line of control, and all other sectors with effect from midnight on Friday. The statement said the talks were held in a free, frank, and cordial atmosphere between the armies of the two nuclear-armed countries. A ceasefire has been in place at the line of control, which divides Indian-administered and Pakistani-administered Kashmir since 2003, but it's frequently violated by both sides, resulting in civilian and military casualties. Last year, Indian small arms and mortar fire and artillery shells killed at least 28 civilians and wounded 257 more in Pakistan-administered Kashmir, according to Pakistan's Foreign Office. So, this will be very interesting to see what's going on there. If you go to aljazeera.com and look up the story, you can see a map that shows what the line of control is. It appears to be, it's labeled as being 740 kilometers long, and it's pretty interesting because we got India to the south, Pakistan to the west, I'm looking at it backwards. But yeah, you got India at the bottom, China is to the north and to the right, so that's the northeast. Yeah, east is on the right, and then Pakistan's on the left side, so the west side. So it's pretty interesting, and so I'm sure it will get divided up, or they'll figure out something. But just be aware, hey, positive times. What do you want to do? I want to buy a burger. That was the theme yesterday on the Dubious Goals Committee. X1's waiting for the burgers. And we had someone join that didn't know quite what was going on, and it was a good time. All right, what else is happening? Oh man, so much world news.
World news.
Northern Lights shares a link about pink tea. So I will check that out in a little bit. All right, because tea is an important part of your day. And if you don't know about tea, stick around. Dubious Goals Committee also covers tea. All right. Hundreds of buildings burned around Tigray town, research group says. Fires that appear to have been deliberately set destroyed more than 500 structures this week in and around Ethiopia's Gijet. It's spelled Golf India Juliet Echo Tango, so I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I'm going to say Gijet town. An analysis of satellite imagery shared with Reuters is found, adding credence to reports of continued conflicts in the northern region of Tigray. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed declared victory over the rebellious regional force, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, at the end of November after its fighters withdrew from the region's main cities and towns. But sporadic fighting continues in some parts of the Tigray, according to residents and United Nations assessments. Mulla Nega, head of Tigray's government-appointed interim administration, told Reuters he had sent a team to the Gijet area to investigate. According to preliminary information I have received in Gijet, there was fighting between Ethiopian federal forces and local militias. The DX Open Network, a security research organization based in Britain, analyzed images collected by private satellite operator Planet Labs on Sunday and Tuesday around Gijet and three nearby settlements, which are about 35 kilometers southwest of the Tigray region capital of Mekelle. They showed at least 508 structures that appear to have been destroyed by fire. So, this will be very troubling if the conflict or the violence is still happening. We had a pretty gruesome story from this region just very recently, maybe like earlier this week, last week, I can't remember. So, on to more violence. We're still in Africa. This is from Niger. Two dead, hundreds arrested in post-election violence. At least two people have been killed and hundreds arrested in Niger's post-election violence. It erupted on Tuesday after the Election Commission declared former Interior Minister Mohamed Bazoum, oh, I remember this guy's name, I kept saying it funny, and nobody knew what the heck I was saying. So, Mohamed Bazoum, victor in Sunday's runoff vote with 55.75%, while opposition candidate Mahamain Usmane, which I will put in calm also, garnered 44.25%. Usmane disputed the result and claimed he narrowly won with 50.3%. The toll is two dead, Interior Minister Alkash Alhada told reporters on Thursday, adding that 468 arrests had been made, including certain politicians whom he did not identify. One of the two deaths occurred as a result of an epileptic fit during a protest, adding that the other, who was shot dead, was the bodyguard of politician Sini Omaru, an unsuccessful candidate in the first round of voting on December 27th, who had urged supporters to vote for Bazoum in the runoff. There was also destruction of infrastructure of public and private property. The Al-Hada accused a prominent opposition figure, Hama Amodo, of being the main person responsible for the unrest. He was banned from contesting the election because of a conviction for baby trafficking, a charge he says was politically motivated and threw his support behind Usman. So, this is troubling news, of course, there. Hopefully, now that the election season's over, things can calm down and we'll be okay. Yeah, if you guys remember, earlier in the year, there was a big story about the for-profit baby traffic trade in Africa and how big it was. Babies can't tell on you whenever you smuggle or steal them, apparently. So, it's very sad. All right. Well, let's keep on being sad. Let's talk about this. Moscow homeless shelter sees visitors triple during pandemic. A Moscow charity helping the homeless has seen the number of people dropping in for a cup of tea or bite to eat increase threefold because of the pandemic. Russia, with more than 4.2 million recorded cases of the virus, imposed lockdowns last spring and many people lost their jobs. Roman Skorsov, who runs services for the homeless at Milosrdie, one of Russia's best-known charities, said an average of 300 people now visit its shelter in Moscow every day to warm up. What? That's incredible.
Get the news.
Uh-oh. You hear that guy?
Get the news.
I'm trying to keep him
quiet.
Get
the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, it's starting. It's starting. You can feel it. Ooh! Tobe has joined the chat. Watch out. Atlas Obscura's Cashmere Pink Tea. Hot topic. All right. This past year has had an impact on the homeless, Skorsov said. Since the start of the pandemic, the number of people visiting the shelter has tripled. This is due to job losses and other difficulties. The shelter, set up in a heated tent east of the city center, draws even more people during Moscow's frigid winters, gives them a place to have a steaming cup of tea or receive medical attention for minor injuries. There are definitely more calls for homeless people during the winter, said Olga Pavelcheva, head of Moscow's Elizaveta Glinka Center for Social Adaptation. I feel like they were just padding their story. Oh, or something, because that last line is kind of weird. But anyway, yeah, Moscow's suffering as well. But let me give you a story before we do some music, because this made me chuckle, because China had to come out with a statement denying it. China has denied that it required U.S. diplomats to undergo anal swab tests for coronavirus. U.S. media reported that diplomats had complained after being made to undergo the procedure. Some Chinese cities have introduced anal swabs, with experts there claiming they can increase the detection rate of infected people. The country has largely brought the virus under control. China's foreign ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian denied the claims on Thursday, telling a press conference that China has never required U.S. diplomatic staff stationed in China to conduct anal swab tests. Last week, the Washington Post reported that some workers had told the U.S. State Department they'd been subjected to the test. Anal swabs involving inserting a cotton swab 3 to 5 centimeters, which is 1.2 to 2 inches, into the anus and gently rotating it. It's not known how many U.S. diplomats may have had the test. The State Department added that it was told by Beijing that the test was given in error. He emphasized that these tests were only needed for certain people, such as those under quarantine. So, very, very interesting. I feel bad for anybody who has any kind of non-consensual anal swabbing done. That just sounds like an unpleasant time. Unpleasant time indeed. Oh, shucks. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Boop. So anyway, let's go ahead here and see what we got. I know the song to play. This song is called Stick the Fucking Flag Up Your Goddamn Ass, You Son of a Bitch. And this is by the band Propagandhi on their album How to Clean Everything.
Wait a minute, Dad. Did you actually say freedom? Well, if you're dumb enough to vote, you're fucking dumb enough to believe them. Cause if this country is so goddamn free, then I can burn your fucking flag wherever I damn well please. And then I'm gonna stick it up your fucking ass! Lie! Was mine. Rhymeless unreason, conjecture kept me in line. Then I stood back and wondered what the fuck had they done to me. Made a
listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. It is 1922. What? Oh my gosh. We've only got 7 minutes and some change left in the show. And then at 1930 UTC, the same time every single day, you got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. All we want to do is buy a burger. A burger. I don't know if we'll get our burger today, but you can guarantee there won't be any greasy messes. So, you got to listen to the show to find out what all that means. That going on, we got so much going on. There's not enough time. We got world news. We got tech news. We got just regular old American imperialist news. But, you know what they say? You know, you got to just do what you can do, right? Big shout out, welcome AGK and Publius for joining in. I don't think I mentioned you in the shout outs earlier. So let's go through and we're just going to hit all the headlines, or at least as much as I can fit in here. First up, an interesting phenomenon, I think, is dust explosions. So you get these in grain silos, and also in Singapore. This is really sad news. 3 of the 10 workers who suffered burns in a fire at an industrial building in Taos have died, said Commissioner for Workplace Safety and Health Silas Tseng on Thursday, February 25th. Another 5 are in critical condition, while 2 workers have been discharged. Preliminary investigations have found that the accident at 32 East Taos Avenue 11 was caused by a combustible dust explosion. Mr. Tseng, who is also director of the Manpower Ministry's Occupational Safe and Health Division, he added that the dust was in the form of potato starch powder, a material used for production by the company at the site. Mr. Zing explained that such dust can be generated when powder is transferred, such as from a bag into a mixer. Over time, the dust can accumulate in the environment, especially if the ventilation or the housekeeping is inadequate. And when the dust comes into contact with a source of friction, an explosion will occur, as we see in this incident. So this was quite surprising. I saw a social media video someone who had lived across the street took, and it was pretty awful. People outside just screaming with their clothes melted to their body and stuff. But yeah, explosions are no joke. So anyway, thoughts and prayers going out to the folks in Singapore. That's awful, awful way to go. Alrighty. Well, what else is happening? Well, you know Lady Gaga. This is important news. Her dog walkers was shot and her bulldogs were stolen. Two of Lady Gaga's French bulldogs were stolen on Wednesday night after a gunman shot her dog walker in Hollywood. A male suspect fired a semi-automatic handgun at the dog walker before making off with the dogs. So, the dog walker is going to be recovered, and she's offering $500,000 to anyone who can return the dogs. So, Ace Ventura is out there. If you can find her dogs, you got a big payday coming. Alright, so what else is happening? There is so much going on. It's just mind-boggling. So, I'm just going to run through the headlines for you. Oh, yeah, 100% AGK. Dust fires and explosions? I just think they're really interesting because you normally don't picture them being explosive. But then it's like, well, you just get enough little particles in the air and it'll go up. I don't know. I think grain silos are really interesting, too. The number of people that die in them and how those mechanics work and how they dry and just anyway, it's very interesting. A lot of mechanical interesting things, features there. All right, here we go. So France 24 has video showing security forces shooting at protesters in Myanmar, killing a 16-year-old. Myanmar security forces carried a bloody crackdown on protests against the coup on February 20th. They opened fire on the crowd, killing at least two people, including a 16-year-old. So the video's recently been smuggled out. Brazilian President Bolsonaro says state firms must fulfill a social function, which is a bit of a surprise coming from him. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro said on Thursday that the country's state-controlled companies should fulfill a social function, and any different understanding by their chief executives was unacceptable. The president's comments come after a disagreement on fuel prices at state-controlled oil producer Petrobras Brasileiro. So, anyway, that's going on there. A man survived in the ocean for 14 hours. He fell off the ship, and he clung to a buoy that he found. He saw a couple miles away. He swam to it and survived. So, good news there. Glad he made it. Meanwhile, Belarus is in the news because a protester's been jailed for 10 years as UN warns of a human rights crisis. So, yeah, they're still in the news. A Belarusian court sentenced an anti-government protester to 10 years in prison on Thursday on charges that the opposition say were trumped up as part of a crackdown to keep President Alexander Lukashenko in power. Not really a big surprise there. Oxygen supplies continue to be really scarce in Latin America and Africa amid the virus. Crisis over the supply of medical oxygen for coronavirus patients has struck nations in Africa and Latin America, where warnings went unheeded at the start of the pandemic. Doctors say the shortage has led to unnecessary deaths. It takes about 12 weeks to install a hospital oxygen plant, and even less time to convert industrial oxygen manufacturing systems into a medical-grade network. But in Brazil and Nigeria, as well as less populous nations, decisions to fully address inadequate supplies only started being made last month, after hospitals were overwhelmed and patients started to die. There's a saying that goes like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of procrastination, I think is what it's called. Anyway, yeah, very sad news. Hopefully not a lot of people die. Also, the WHO says patients suffering long COVID symptoms need to be heard. Check that out on France 24. And this is cool. This will probably be the last story I can get out. A budget electric vehicle selling in China for $4,500 US or 3,200 pounds is now outselling Tesla's more upmarket cars. The compact car is proving a big hit for state-owned SAIC, that's Sierra Alpha India Charlie Motor, China's top automaker. The Hongguang Mini EV is being built as part of a joint venture with U.S. car giant General Motors. Last month, sales of the budget electric car in China were around double those of Tesla. While the $4,500 Hongguang Mini is the most popular model, there is an upgraded one with air conditioning for just over $5,000. Cars are being marketed as the people's commuting tool. You'll remember, the Tata in India was under $5,000 as a new car, and that was pretty cool too. Thanks so much for listening. I got like 10 seconds. I don't have anything to say, really. There's just so much news. I wish I could have gotten to it, more of it. Thank you for listening. I am going to do my best to record a show tomorrow, but I won't be able to be live because I got a meeting. So, 1900. Anyway, much love.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh yeah! Party, party, party!
SDF rules.